This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day podcast. This coming weekend, this coming Sunday, is Easter. And believe it or not, we've managed to find three different beers that we can directly relate to Easter. And three more that we can probably find some way to relate to it. Plenty of different styles. A Goza, a couple of IPAs, a pale ale, a barley wine, and an imperial stout from all across the country. I'm Dallas Hellicker. Joining me tonight, Kira Hopkin, Britton Miner, Steve Williamson, Joel Miner, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller.
Hi.
Hey, everyone.
How's it going?
Happy Easter, everybody.
Hey, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Let's turn some water into beer.
We'll try. First beer of the day, or night, as the case may be. Here goes a nothing. Sorry. Here goes a nothing from Destil Brewery in Normal, Illinois. Do you think it's really normal in Normal, Illinois, or do you think probably they're trying to buck the trend a little bit?
I venture to guess it's abnormal in Normal, Illinois.
Nobody calls themselves normal if they're
normal.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, you're the crazy one.
Yeah, if you have to claim that you're normal, you're probably not.
Yes. 5.2%.
Ooh, smell that. Smells like a Goza. That sour tartness in the aroma.
It looks like a Goza. Well, it's maybe not. It's more clear than your traditional Goza, right? This is one of the clearest beers I've ever seen.
It looks like some extra bubbly on top champagne is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And there's little champagne bubbles floating up, but it's a nice...
It smells delicious.
It even has a really champagne smell
to it. What's the color?
Even.
Is this golden? Light golden?
Light golden.
What? Light golden.
Dark straw, light golden.
It's weird. Like when someone pours you a straight shot of like bourbon, like it has that kind of look to it. It's so clear.
Yeah, that's true.
I've never seen a Goza this clear before in my life.
It's got like a very slight haze to it, but not like, it's pretty clear.
So you get a little bit of that salt water, taffy, salty kind of aroma. A little bit of a sour apple smell as well. Traditional Goza smell, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's pretty tart. I mean, first sip, it's green apples, a little bit of citrus. But it's like that lemony green apple tartness that I think you look for in a Goza, but it's got plenty of it here.
A lot of Gozas are, there's a little funk to it, a little of that cactus taste. Not getting that here. This is more of a fruit forward one. A lot of sour apple. Man, it's just really smooth drinker to me. Like, this is what I would want to drink when I wake up in the morning, and instead of apple juice, just drink this.
So this reminds me a lot of that cucumber sour beer we had without the cucumber flavor of it. It has a very hint of cucumber, but I don't. Who brewed that cucumber sour?
I think that's High Water is the one you're thinking of.
No, it was the, is it
the
10
White
Barrel?
Can.
10 Barrel.
Yeah.
Is it 10 Barrel?
Yeah,
yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. So this reminds me a lot of that beer. It has a much lighter mouthfeel, but it's a good, refreshing beer.
Mouthfeel to me reminds me of like Martinelli's.
Yeah.
With like the sparkling effervescence.
Very much
so. Just a hint of sour.
I think that for a Goza, this is less on the salty side than usual, and I actually appreciate that. Like sometimes I feel like Gozas can get almost so salty that they're kind of killing your taste buds a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a person who puts salt on absolutely everything until there's like a fine dusting. But this has a good amount of saltiness to it.
To me, I get that you know, sour apple, green apple in the finish a lot, but up the forward in this to me is a lot of lime. It's almost like just you sucked on a lime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that too.
Super thirst quenching though. I mean, Dal wants to drink this in the morning. I want to drink this on like a hot summer day. you know, if I think of a beer that is just great when it's hot, quench your thirst, this style, I think, fits the bill.
Absolutely. All right, I think we've done a fair job on that one. Before we get into the next beer, anyone have any interesting beers this week?
I had one. So this last week was KBS week for Founders KBS, and I'm pretty sure this is the first time you could really get it in California. It's not easy to get, but now Founders distributes to California, and it is still hard to get. Places that get it put like a 2-bottle limit on it, but I was able to get my hands on a bottle this week. I've had it before, but you know, it was nice to have this year's version. Really good, like all the coffee and vanilla chocolate flavors you look for. It's bourbon barrel aged, but super smooth, like you can't even taste the alcohol. So it was a great week for that. If you can find it anywhere, pick it up, but it's probably gone at this point.
And for any listeners not in the know, that's Kentucky Breakfast Stout, KBS.
You know, I've never had that. I've always wanted to try it too. I feel like it gets hyped up a lot, like on a lot of the groups that we're in, and I just haven't had it yet.
Yep.
It's probably the most expensive beer I bought. I mean, it was $25 for a 4-pack.
Yo!
Wow.
Yeah.
It better be good if it's that expensive.
Lots of hype, but it was worth it.
Now we have a kind of an IPA pale ale section here. We have a IPA right now and then a couple of doubles next. This one is the Batch 300 IPA from Fulton Beer in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So there is a disadvantage to all these cans that are coming out. So every time I open up a can on the show,
I get sprayed.
It is like an explosion all over myself, which I will say I'm glad they're filling these cans to the brim, but it does get annoying when you're doing a podcast and it just gets all over the place.
Yeah,
I thought that Here Goes to Nothing, the first one you cranked open, I was like, either that's the fullest can ever or it's insanely carbonated.
Well, you said the same thing last week on one of the beers.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like a new trend, and I'm like not going to complain about it, but I don't know. For some reason, I am complaining about it right now.
Yeah, you are.
So this is a little bit darker color, like a golden orange, pretty thick white foamy head.
Yeah, and as I poured the can, each time I poured it, it got more and more hazy. So, for example, I poured Dallas's glass first, and his is pretty clear.
Check that out.
Versus Kiera's, who I poured last, and Britain's.
Kiera's in Britain, yeah.
It's pretty hazy.
It's pretty hazy.
Yeah, mine is like hazy with like particulate matter suspended that I can see.
Dallas and I's is see-through.
And Jeff, yours looks pretty clear because you obviously poured off the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can barely even see through mine, actually.
So on the aroma, I say this about some IPAs, and this beer is made with all mosaic hops, and I tend to get this flavor in mosaic hops. It's a lot of tea leaves is what I smell. Anybody else get that? I mean, it's dank and fresh, but it's got like tea leaves.
I see where you get that from. I get like more herbal, though. I get like jasmine and maybe mint.
I definitely get like the floral end of it. I was going to say like slight citrus, but as soon as Steve said jasmine, that's what's ringing home for me. Normally I'm with Jeff on the tea leaf thing, but I'm getting more of the floral on the aroma.
Ever slight lavender?
There's a sweetness in it that I smell that I normally don't. I feel like I normally don't smell that in IPAs, and I feel like this one smells sweet.
There's like a malty character to it, that like a sweet bread type of smell that I think is going to come through on the taste.
Yeah, the taste though, I mean, I think that you know, down in Britain, you know, totally alluded to that you get it on the nose, but I mean it's hoppy. It's definitely a hoppy beer, but there's a lot of malt backbone there, and you get that kind of that sweet, you know, bready.
So much so that the hops are, there's more hops in it than I am tasting, I think. Like the hops aren't overwhelming, and the hop flavor itself is not the fresh hop or the dank hops or anything like that. It's kind of a mild hop.
Yeah, I would describe it as mild, and the bitterness is there, but it doesn't linger. But it's not really like balanced with anything else. I wouldn't call this a balanced beer. It's mildly hoppy and then mildly bitter, and then it's done.
Yeah, and if I had described this beer, it's mosaic. I mean, that is, it's a predominant flavor. It's a predominant hop. It comes across strong. It is that, it's that bittering, just consistent mosaic flavor you get from that hop.
I actually think this is balanced. I mean, it has a lot more of that sweet malt flavor than we are used to. I mean, we drink a lot of West Coast style IPAs, and this has a lot more malt than most West Coast IPAs. And I do think it's 100% mosaic in here, and I get like an onion flavor from the hops. Like part of that was the herbal, the floral stuff, but I get some onion flavor, which I don't get too often, but every once in a while I do in an IPA.
Yeah, and then you also get a little bit of that copper metallic taste that, you know, we get a lot from Sierra Nevada, so we're kind of accustomed to it and we're used to it, but this does have a little bit of a metallic taste as well.
I think that, Jeff, you totally nailed it with that. It's like a white onion, like... I'm eating an In-N-Out burger with raw onion instead of grilled, and it's just like super potent.
But it gives it sort of a fresh taste too. I mean, there's not much citrus or tropical fruit in this beer. It's like the herbal stuff, the tea leaves, like I got in the aroma, the onion. It's a different flavor that you get from Mosaic than a lot of the hops we're used to.
But I think that, you know, Britton said that it doesn't linger the bitterness. I don't know. To me, it does. It's the number one characteristic of why I think I'm not a huge IPA guy, because it's just after I'm done with my drink, my sip, I get that the dry mouth, I get the bitterness in my throat, and it's just.
It's when you need to take another sip.
maybe that's the appeal to most people. It doesn't do it for me, but I mean it has a good flavor.
Now this one, whenever I have a Mosaic IPA, I think back to other ones we've had. And back in episode 60 of this show, this is episode 70, so 10 episodes ago, we did the second part of our Vermont show, and we brought back the Mosaic IPA from Lost Nation in Morrisville, Vermont. And I think this beer that we're having right now, the Batch 300, is a superior beer to that one, because that one was Mosaic to a fault. It was like Mosaic hops can sometimes be taste a little different and are a little off-putting compared to like a lot of the Cascade and the Simcoe and like the varietals that we're used to a lot more. And so that one that we had from Vermont was a little bit funky to me and didn't really mesh well with my palate. This one does. It's a lot more of a balanced beer than the one we had from Vermont.
I'm a little biased. Also, because Mosaic is actually probably my favorite hop, and I know it's not the most traditional, but I'm seeing a lot more use of Mosaic the last couple of years in IPAs.
Especially because Citra, the cost of Citra hops is through the roof. So
it's, you know, you three, Jeff, Dallin, and Joel, you, the IPA drinkers. I mean, you guys are all saying it's balanced. Britton said it's not balanced, and I'm right in that camp too. That I feel like there's two competing flavors here. I don't think they're mixing great together. I mean, I feel like it's sweet versus bitter, not necessarily sweet and bitter.
Mosaic hops taste like diesel to me. So it's got like that like leaded feel for me. So I think that's why I'm describing it as like not very balanced. I'm not getting a whole lot of sweetness out of it, but.
Well, you should have tried Batch 299. And now it's time for the beer news of the day. All right, so it's only been a week since we did the last episode. There hasn't been a whole lot in the beer news, but one interesting thing that I saw was the numbers for the American craft beer exports for the previous year. And last year it was an all-time high, $121 million in exports from American craft beer, which is up 4.5% from 2015. You want to give a guess on the number one country that we export beer to?
China.
Germany.
Canada.
Canada.
Eh?
54% of our beer goes to Canada.
Jeez.
Of our exported beer.
Of our exported beer. Yeah, 54% of our exported beer. Not.
I'm like, geez, those guys are drinking.
It's cold up there. You gotta do something. 10% of our exports go to the United Kingdom, 6.6 to Sweden.
That's good because I hear that the strongest they have is 3.5%. Where I'm going at the end of the water. End of the month.
Australia 4.6%, China 3.2%. The biggest area of growth was the Asia Pacific region. The exports grew at 12.9%. Japan, our exporting to Japan grew by 22.6%. So American craft beer is blowing up over there. Of course, it was probably at like 1% before, so it's not that hard to increase. Now, this is going to come out next week, so the Masters will have long been gone. But it was pretty interesting that they show the prices for the concessions there. And how much is a domestic light beer at the Masters?
$15.
No, $2.75.
Well, let's split the difference. It's $4.
What?
I don't know if that's the difference.
Samsonite, that was way off.
So their pricing has been frozen. I mean, they keep it like traditional. Everything is tradition at the Masters. And an import beer is $5, and an American craft beer is $5.
I feel like women aren't allowed to go?
And the tickets are insanely expensive.
$3,000.
If there's a lottery, you can submit for one round of actual round of play, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It's $100 if you win the lottery, but it's very limited. Or you get them on the secondary market for about $1,500 a day. Or you can go to all the days for about $7,000.
Hi, Demi.
Oh, at least you can get a $4 beer.
They should give you free beer for that much.
You'd think they would. Okay, let's transition now into the Easter part of the show. We have, we're going to part ways here a little bit. We have two beers from Champion Brewing Company, Charlottesville, Virginia. We did a beer from them last week. We have the Fruit Basket Double IPA, and we have the Easter Basket Double IPA. Two different baskets.
So we are doing the Fruit Basket, and I'm assuming that Jeff is doing the Easter Basket?
No.
Nope.
Jeff's doing the Fruit Basket, and we're doing the Fruit Basket and the Easter Basket.
All right.
You guys have more people, so you get to do two different beers.
So we'll start off with the Fruit Basket. So this has a lot of head. It's got similar to the last color beer. It's got that golden. It's
pretty yellow.
Yeah, yellow copper.
It's pretty light color for a double IPA. This is 8%. Lots of very thick head.
Yeah, there's a lot of head in all these pours I'm doing.
Yeah, real thick, bubbly. I mean, you got two fingers ahead probably on 4 ounces of beer.
Super foamy and frothy.
It's interesting. This is an India Pale Ale brewed with orange juice, grape, fruit juice, and citrus zest.
I was surprised when I saw that. Like, I don't really see beers advertised saying it's brewed with juice. Like, a lot of beers have juicy characteristics. You know, IPAs tend to have these fruity, juicy characteristics. But to say that it's brewed with juice surprised me a little bit.
I can kind of pick up on the orange juice and grapefruit on the smell.
I kind of feel like it smells like strawberries. But maybe I'm way off.
No, I like that.
It's fruity. I mean, there's a lot of tropical fruit, citrus. I was expecting this to be more like a hazy beer, like a Northeast style, just based on the name. But it's really not. It's like a West Coast style beer with lots of fruit. I mean, it's tons of fruits you can think of.
This tastes like cough syrup to me. It tastes medicinal. It tastes like scissorp.
Scissorp.
I'm getting kind of a juicy flavor to it, though. I do get the.
But then in the aftertaste, it's like malty. Is when the herbal medicinal thing kicks in. I do get that.
So the last few beers we've had have been, I guess I should say the last beer we had was very hoppy. This one is not as hoppy, not as bitter. So especially not the bitterness. I mean, I'm just not getting the overwhelming bitterness that I had in the previous beers. It definitely is sweet, though.
This was not intentional, but just so you guys know, this beer also is 100% Mosaic hops.
Mosaic hops up front. I guess it's Mosaic. I don't think it's as well balanced of a Mosaic flavor as the previous beer, like I said, sometimes the mosaic comes off a little bit. It tastes like different hops than I'm used to, and my palate isn't used to it. So I get that here. And then there is the juiciness that kind of kicks in after that initial wave of hop bitterness. And the juiciness is different than the juiciness of beers that we're having a lot lately. The Northeast style, like juicy, that comes from the hops only. They're not putting fruit juice into the beer. And if they are doing that with this beer, then maybe that's why it seems a little different than the beers I'm used to.
And I think maybe I'm confused because for being brewed with so many different things, like, and being called Fruit Basket, I think I was expecting to be able to pick out some fruity flavors that I'm just not getting at all.
I do think the most noticeable fruit for me is the grapefruit. At first, I didn't realize the bitterness, but after three or four sips, I'm getting the like grapefruit pith flavor, and maybe that's from the grapefruit juice that they add. But that is one fruit that I can definitely pick out.
You can, and like with grapefruit, it lingers on your tongue long after you stopped eating it. So like now I haven't had a sip for a minute or so, and there's still a lingering bitterness on my tongue.
Yeah, I think Jeff really is on point with the pith part. It doesn't taste like the fruit itself. It's more the pithy, like, bitterness.
But it's not a bitter beer. It's not, to me, it's not bitter. The previous beer, the Batch 300, had a much more bitter taste. This is just this kind of, I don't know.
Nondescript?
Yeah.
Does anyone feel like it's like kind of, you just feel like you're dry, like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So every once in a while, you'll get like an off-brand cranberry juice where like you're in some other country and you have a cranberry juice that's like not like sugary like the U.S. does it. This kind of has like that cranberry juice like feel to it where it's like it's just raw and I'm not sure I enjoy it.
Well, let's see if you enjoy the Easter Basket better. This is another 8% double IPA from Champion Brewing Company, Charlottesville, Virginia. And we're going to make this the beer of the day on Sunday. I'll go ahead and give you a spoiler right now.
You're in the know.
This is also 8%. Coming in at 70 IBU. Should be a quite bitter beer.
Or is it IBUs, I like to call them.
You and nobody else.
Oh, it's catching on.
So it's pouring a lot like the last one, pretty light colored. A lot of head.
Maybe even more.
I have probably four fingers here.
I just want everybody to guess what type of predominant hop is in this beer.
Mosaic.
Yes, it's a Mosaic IPA.
So I, at first I thought maybe they just put the Fruit Basket in the Easter Basket can. It's the same beer, same type of beer, same brewery, same alcohol percentage. But then when I read up on it, I think this will be quite a bit different.
Yeah, the nose right away, it's way different.
Yeah.
I mean, this actually kind of smells like Pez candy. Like, it smells sweet. It smells like finely ground up hard candy.
Like a lemon Pez.
Yeah.
So this beer is brewed with a new twist, chocolate and coffee for a complex beer unlike anything we've ever made before.
Interesting. It's kind of like the Stone Enjoy By for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So it's terrible?
No, this one, I can enjoy this one a lot more than the previous. It's still, I'm still getting some of that medicinalist to it. And maybe that just must be the mosaic hop that, you know, I'm not a hop guy. I don't have a lot of hops, but I mean, it definitely has that characteristic, but a lot sweeter, a lot more fruit flavor you can pick out of this.
Now on the aroma, I'm not getting the coffee. Is it chocolate and coffee?
Yeah. Yes, chocolate and coffee.
I'm not getting either one.
That's not coming through on the aroma. I'll see how it is on the taste.
I'm not picking up smell or taste.
I can get a little chocolate in the taste. I can get a little bit of a chocolate malt in there.
I actually like this beer.
It's very reserved. I mean, chocolate and coffee.
It's very reserved on everything, though. So for a Deepa, like it's not super hoppy.
So the weird thing is that I like this beer better than the previous one.
Aye.
But
it's not weird to me at all.
I can't name the difference between this beer and the previous one because I'm not getting the chocolate and the coffee. So
I am getting the coffee. If you continue to drink, it's on like way aftertaste, like, and it's almost more like the essence of coffee than the actual flavor of coffee. So it's the same type of thing, like where you exhale after you had a sip of coffee, where you're not tasting it, but like you're breathing it out, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You, I mean, without, you know, that totally says it exactly the way I describe it.
It's like that you're not getting the grapefruit bitterness that you get in the previous beer. They're the same IBU according to the brewer, but you're not getting that like pungent bitterness that you get with a previous one.
I feel like this one's a lot more malty as well, or at least I can taste, it tastes more malty to me. It's more reserved. It's less bitter.
Well, I mean, like Dow said, it's not a lot more anything because, I mean, it's not a lot at all. It's very reserved.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
It's very mellow. It's smoother, I think, is the biggest difference between this one and the Fruit Basket.
I think it's more complex. It's less fruity, which the fruity was throwing me off a little bit, and a little bit more complex, maybe more of a traditional beer, actually, than because, you know, you think it's going to be stranger with chocolate and coffee. But it's so reserved, it's actually just adding a little bit more of a darker characteristic to it that makes it more appealing to me.
I agree.
So we just had three Mosaic beers in a row, with the predominant hop being Mosaic. What would you guys say is the one flavor that you get the most out of the beers that we've had just had?
Diesel.
I concur.
I'd say some type of floral thing like hibiscus or trying to think of an herb that would be
tarragon.
I think it tends to be dank, and I think the tea leaves, I got that in two out of the two that I had. I got a little bit of tea leaves, which I think is similar to the herbal and floral flavor.
If you could mix a flower with a piece of pepper and combine those two flavors together into one, that's what this tastes like to me.
I think the pepper's a good addition. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, we're dealing with subtleties here. It's like not super peppery or anything, but
no, yeah,
we're trying to come up with
just like a hint of it.
We're trying to come up with definitive flavors for a subtle character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Mosaic, like Joel, what your question is really getting at is Mosaic is usually very good when used with other hops. And this was unique that this was the only hop in these beers. And when it's the only hop, it really stands out with these flavors. And we're so used to drinking IPAs that have all these citrus and tropical fruit flavors that it's really different to have an IPA that is solely brewed with Mosaic. And I think it's interesting to try it by itself like this, but I think it might work better when it's used with other, in conjunction with other hops.
But we say this a lot in this show, is when we're having these, you know, great beers from all across the US, we use the word complex a lot, but we haven't really used that word in any of these beers that we've tried. Cause it's just a very, like, they're all very similar and it's unique flavor profile, but it's not complex. You're not getting a ton of different flavors.
I agree. I don't think any of the, well, maybe that last one was probably the most complex out of the ones that we've had with the Mosaic hops.
Yes, definitely. All right, that's the first half of the Easter show. I didn't know we were going to go uber Mosaic and feature Mosaic hops on the segment. We didn't look that up beforehand, but it was kind of nice to try. When we come back, we start the Jesus segment on the Beer of the Day podcast. If you like this show and want to support us, you can do so by rating and reviewing us on iTunes. Most people that find podcasts find them on iTunes. And if you rate and review us on there, it helps us move up the rankings so that if someone comes and types in beer podcast, as thousands of people do a day, then we'll come up closer to the top of the list. And we won't be behind all these 50 or 60 other shows that aren't quite as good as this one. So rate, review us on iTunes. That helps us. You can also help us by telling your friends about it. You, as a beer drinker, more than likely have beer drinking friends. Otherwise, you're drinking alone all the time and maybe you have a problem. Assuming you don't have a problem and you're drinking socially with other people that like to drink beer, then you might want to tell them about this show, because maybe they have a commute where they drive 40 minutes each way a day and they need something to listen to. Well, this show can take you all the way to work and halfway back, and then you can drive in silence and then till you get home and you can drink a beer.
Now, what if they drink with us? Does that count as alone or no?
No, that's perfectly acceptable. You can drink along with us while you listen to the show.
Just wanted to throw it out there.
And if you can get some of the same beers, you know, we post the list. So if you see the beers that we do, then go and buy the beers and then just drink along with us. I bet that makes this show 10 times better. So, yeah, do that. Someone do that and write us and tell us how it went. I want to hear this. All right. Second half of the show, we have two beers with Jesus in the title.
Jesus.
And I think there's no better time to try these beers than Easter.
You said it, man.
Welcome back to the Easter show. Our next beer, Scary Jesus Rockstar. This is a pale ale from Dark Horse Brewing Company in Marshall, Michigan. Now, a pale ale doesn't sound too strange to you, does it? Well, this one is brewed with apricots and chamomile.
And not only that, but it's brewed with Chef Cletus Friedman, which is a slightly strange name.
That chamomile in there, it sounds scary relaxing.
I think just on the aroma, this qualifies as a strange brew.
So
I wasn't sure, but it smells different than every beer we drink.
Yep. Color, yeah. Agreed that.
Color-wise, we're getting into the copper arena.
Does anybody else have botulism in theirs? Because it's I have like
weird floaty
chunky lumps.
Yep. Some visible sediment for sure.
Visible sediment is a polite way to say that I have
like chunks.
Botulism in my glass.
Makes it you almost not want to drink it.
I almost don't want to drink this.
It's the chamomile. You want to trade with me? I like sediment.
I will say this is like the first like three beers I brewed, the first two or three glasses of it, of each 5-gallon batch. I mean, it has got a lot of sediment in it.
All my complaints aside, it smells very apricotty and delicious.
It's and like honey, like a honey sweetness.
Yes.
It smells like jam. Like it smells thick.
Yeah, it does. Well, it is.
That honey really
it smells
comes
like
through.
Fresh, like homemade honey, like right out of the farm.
Homemade honey?
Out of the hive.
Well, just not like fakes, like good natural honey. It's smooth. I mean, one sip. Do you guys get the apricot? I mean, I definitely get the chamomile, the honey.
Chamomile right off the bat.
Chamomile for sure.
The apricot is more subtle, but I definitely see it there. It's apricot is not, it's like a dried apricot flavor, not super sweet.
Yeah.
But the flavor of the dried fruit is there.
There's for sure apricot, and that's like, you know, no question on that one.
Well, and this beer is actually made with apricot and chamomile. It's not like hops that give off those tastes. There's actual like tons of apricot and chamomile brewed in this beer.
So I'm used to tasting chamomile in tea when mm-hmm. it's hot. And so it's like actually kind of an interesting thing to be tasting that flavor when it's cold and carbonated.
I'm also getting like some, like maybe like a little bit of raspberry or like a little bit of some kind of wild berry.
Like a boysenberry. I got that too. Yeah.
It's really good. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to drink a bottle of it, but for a taste, I mean, it has a really unique taste. It's 100% a strange brew. I guarantee you've never tried anything like this before.
But it's exactly as advertised. It's a pale ale for sure.
Yeah.
6.5%. It tastes exactly like a pale ale with something extra added into it. Those extra flavors are in there. But yeah. at the base, this is your standard typical pale ale. And then you get those extra chamomile, apricot, honey type of flavors.
And for our listeners out there, I poured myself the end of the glass. I was the last person to pour. I closed my eyes and I felt nothing. So people are like, oh, it's so cloudy. It's got lumps in it. No, you cannot taste it. It's all mental. Like no, it is.
Do you want to try mine?
You know, Brendan, you say that you have tea, you know, with chamomile. Does this have like a little bit of a chai taste to it to you?
Like slightly spicy, yes, but not super spicy like I think chai is. I also wanted to say that it's kind of strange. There are honey flavors, but I wouldn't describe it as sweet.
It's sweet, but I mean, it's not the sweetest beer I've ever had. I mean, it's not bitter. It's not malty.
No, it's not bitter, but it's not sweet.
Well, there's a good amount of malt in here to balance the hops out. I mean, yeah. It's not a hoppy beer. The chamomile, the honey sort of overwhelm the palate. But I think you get a fair amount of malt as well.
I retract my previous statement. I would drink a bottle of this. It's pretty tasty.
The more I drink it, the more I feel like it's actually just kind of drinking like a cold chamomile tea, which is kind of pleasant. I'm glad we tried it.
With alcohol. Hey, it's National Beer Day.
Hey, happy beer day, guys.
Yeah.
Happy Beer Day.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. And it hasn't been that long since the last show, so I don't have too many to read, but the few that have come in, we featured from Gun Hill Brewing Company, the Roll Call EC number 4. This was back on the 26th of March. CAC 31974 on Instagram says, I enjoyed their Rise Up Rye beer immensely. Where'd we get this one, Jeff?
Tavor, I'm sure.
So maybe the Rise Up will come up as one of the beers we can get, because I would like to try more from that brewery. That was on Instagram. We are on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. On Facebook, we had the Capital Brewery Maibock from Middleton, Wisconsin. Rich, oh Buckeye Nut, a spring beer that I picked up in Madison, Wisconsin last summer, trying to clear the shelves, and this was $3 a six pack. I bought a case and it was great drinking.
$3 a six pack?
That's tough to beat.
Can't even get BL for that.
Then again, in California prices, it'd probably be $8.25, but...
That's pretty good. Jeff and I, just today, were talking about our trip to the Midwest and whether or not we're going to go to Madison. And so that might have to be one on the list. And finally, just today, somebody posted on the STS Pills. This was the beer we had for National Beer Day. Hold on, let me lower this down here. This is the best comment of the day. And it was left by Cantaloupe, Joel.
We know Cantaloupe.
Well, that guy.
Are you guys ready for this? This is about STS Pills, Russian River Brewing Company.
Now you're building it up too much.
Some of the best over-the-counter pills you can buy.
Oh.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, Cantaloupe. Whoops. There we go.
The nice thing is, Cantaloupe went to the brewery and picked this up for us. So thank you, Joel.
Little Cantaloupe Island. All right, let's get to the next beer. We have a barley wine.
Okay. Or do we?
We do. This is from Epic Brewing Company, Salt Lake City, Utah. And this is a barley wine we've had for quite a while. According to Jeff, it was bottled in 2013.
Yeah, so this is batch number 14. It's the, like Dallas said, the barley wine from Epic. On their website, they have this little feature where you can, you know, look up each batch and see when it was bottled. So we've been holding on to this one for a few years. Definitely a little extra age on that, which should be really good. I'm guessing this will be super smooth at this point.
It's pouring a nice kind of walnut color.
Rich mahogany.
With like a little apricot jewel.
Kind of hazy, huh?
It's beautiful beer. Hazy, quite hazy. I can see a shadow through the beer, but I can't see much else.
Oh, it smells really good.
10.4%.
It's got a little kind of a nut, like a earthy nut kind
like
of
honey
smell
nut Cheerios
to,
and yes.
I'm even thinking like cashew or like Brazil nut.
Hazelnut, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's nutty.
Slightly cinnamon, maybe? A little bit of cinnamon.
Like cinnamon, what is the other one? The
nutmeg?
Nutmeg. It's like a combo.
Yep, agreed.
There's something else there. I just can't put my finger on it too.
Vanilla. Like some vanilla maybe.
Yes. That's actually pretty good.
Yes.
An oaky, like maybe some woody oakness. I don't know if this is barrel aged.
The aroma I feel like is like pretty complex. I feel like it's more bitter than I was expecting.
It's like a earthy, there's some earthy hops that are a little bitter.
It feels bitter like up front and then it kind of goes to the earthy kind of easy mouthfeel towards the end.
I would actually say in Jeff fashion that this one tastes a little bit like tea leaves, like black tea leaves, iced tea. There's definitely like an iced tea quality to it if you were to carbonate iced tea.
And then make it alcoholic as hell.
Yes.
If there was some way to age brown sugar.
Lagunitas.
Let me start again. If there was some way to age brown sugar, this would be like what it would taste like if it just got fermented. I mean, this is a really smooth, great mouthfeel. The carbonation is still there. This beer is fantastic, and it's aged really well over the last 4 years.
Do you find this boozy, Steve?
I don't think it's that smooth.
You get a kick from this?
I definitely get a kick.
I get a kick, and nobody really mentioned this, but I get some dark fruits as well, like some cherry and raisin. Anybody else?
Yeah, but you're also getting bitterness, which over 4 years to still have that bitterness, that's impressive.
I was thinking that it kind of tastes like if you were to combine an apple pie made with Granny Smith, like tart apples, and a pecan pie, but without the sweetness. It's like nutty and a little bit of fruity, but really the bitterness kind of like masks a lot of that.
That you left in the sun with a bunch of raisins on top.
That's true, but it sounds way too desserty. This is a barley wine,
yes.
Which means this is a strong beer, 10.4%, and you're drinking something with some booze in it. And, you know, it's going to put some hair in your chest, but it's quite smooth. Like barley wine is not like my go-to style, you know, it's a little bit over the top for me usually, but these aged ones, they just smooth out so much that it's just such a nice easy sipper.
I mean, here's what I take away from this, and this is kind of hard because you're probably not going to be able to ever get this beer, which is not rubbing it in your face. I'm just trying to say that, like, if you have an opportunity to take a beer that is a barley wine that you want to let sit for a while, especially if it's barrel aged, just let it sit for 4 or 5 years. Don't be afraid to do it. You're going to really enjoy what happens with that beer, and you're going to impress your friends when they come over and you're saying, hey, I want to share this beer with you. I've held it for 4 or 5 years. It's a good experience.
You know, if you let it sit for a few years, you're really going to end up with a better beer, in my opinion.
That's how I feel about my wife.
I've sat a couple of years, I've mellowed out.
But then after about 7 years, it goes bad and then you got to start over.
Yeah, but that bitterness is still there.
But this is such a complex beer. Like, you know, barley wines in general have this characteristic, but these flavors are all over the place. I mean, we talk about earthy hops, the nuttiness. I think there's some caramel malt. Plenty of dark fruits. I mean, this is the type of beer that's super complex and it gets better with age. You know, this is the, I think the first time I've ever had this beer and it's so good. It's smooth. It's drinkable. I don't really taste the booze. At first I thought it was boozy, but I could sit down and I could drink this whole bottle. No problem. It's a sipper, but it's good and smooth and complex.
Yeah. I feel like the more you drink it, it felt boozy in the beginning. And now that I've had a couple sips in, the booziness doesn't really feel quite as much, and it's more, I get that raisin aftertaste, so it's, I don't think it's booze. I think it's just raisiny.
Raisiny is spot on.
Yeah. Like, I didn't smell it or taste in the beginning, but I'm picking it up a lot more as we drink it.
Yeah.
I'll leave you guys with this. I want a leather chair, and I want a really good dark cigar, and I want this beer, and I want my wife to be 7 years younger. No, I'm just kidding.
She's gonna kill you.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good summation of that one. Before we get into the next beer, I wanted to mention that each day on the Beer of the Day website, we feature a different beer every single day for 2 years now, with a few exceptions when we forget to post one and it does a repeat, but probably around 700 beers we've done. And we feature it every single day. Jeff and I and Britton and Joel do the majority of them, if not all of them. But anybody can post a beer for Beer of the Day. And so I wanted to encourage our listeners that are members of the site that get the Beer of the Day sent to them every day on email and text message, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can post a Beer of the Day. If you have a beer that you liked, take a picture of it, write a description. It takes about 10 minutes. It's no big deal. You post it up there, and then the thousands of people that have subscribed to our Twitter feeds, Facebook feeds, signed up on the website, will be able to learn about beer from wherever you live.
Tens of thousands, dude.
Tens of thousands. Close to 20,000 people. So it's going to get noticed, which is great. And beer in this country is very segmented. We are lucky enough with Tavour and with trading partners to be able to get beer from Normal, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Charlottesville, Virginia, Marshall, Michigan, Brooklyn, New York, Salt Lake City,
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah,
Chico, California,
Tampa, Florida.
This show and the last show, we had no California beers, which is unheard of. And we have, I don't know, between Jeff and I, the ones we have together, there's probably 30 or 40 California beers that we could choose from. So the fact that we can get these beers from all over the place is great. But, you know, I don't have any beer from Florida right now. I don't have any beer from Texas. So there's a lot of areas of the country that have good beer that we don't get to learn about because we don't have the distribution channel. So if you live in that area, you have a beer that you like that's local, post it up, take a picture, write a description, and we will feature it as Beer of the Day. And then you're going to be able to help us explore the beers all around the country, which is what we want to do. If you do that, if you post your first Beer of the Day, then we will send you a Beer of the Day pint glass. So a little incentive.
And it's a sweet pint glass, too.
It has the Beer of the Day logo on it.
I drink out of mine all the time.
I do, too. So post a Beer of the Day. We'll send you a pint glass. It'll be good for everybody.
Just think of all the children you're helping, like college-age children who think there's only natural ice and that's all they can drink. And you can educate them about good beer.
All right, let's get into the final beer of the night. We're going back to Jesus with even more Jesus.
Jesus.
This is from Evil Twin Brewing, Brooklyn, New York. This is an Imperial Stout, 12%.
So I will say this now as a question. Have we ever had a beer higher than 12% in a can?
That's a good question.
I would say the 1050 from Oscar Blues. What's the percentage on that? It's got to be 12.
Or is it 10.5?
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe they brew it at 10:50 every
morning. I think Joel might be onto something.
I think you're right. 12% out of a can.
So, I think it was a the last week we talked about a beer that had the darkest head we've ever seen. This is in the
wow. This
might win. This takes the cake.
So yeah. The last show, Joel said the last beer, which was the
Plead the Fifth.
Whoa. The Plead the Fifth. He said it looked like chocolate ice cream as the head.
Looks like coffee.
It looks like coffee. It looks like mocha.
So on the last show, the Plead the Fifth, I said it was so dark that there was no light peeking through. But as I think back, there was more light peeking through than this one.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't see anything. Like, nothing.
It is dark.
So
this is the darkest, brownest head I think I've ever seen on a beer.
Yeah.
Pitch black color of this beer.
Has anybody tried it yet? Because I hope no one has. Let's just describe the smell of this beer.
Amazing.
It smells like delicious. A cleaning agent. Like, it's almost like a little tinge of ammonia with chocolate and cinnamon.
I think it's
no,
totally...
I just get a bunch of roasted, like, burnt malts.
I'm getting, like, banana nut bread. Or, like, maybe, like, zucchini bread would be a better way to say it.
Rutten is onto something. There is something that is...
It's like acerbic.
Oh, I'm getting the cleaning agent now.
I think Steve is right. Zucchini bread? That didn't make any sense, but...
Yeah, I mean, I said banana nut bread just for like that, the molasses-y, you know, breadiness. But I mean, there's no banana smell. So I think like a zucchini bread, like pumpernickel, dark, you know, rye, something like that.
I love it when you see pumpernickel.
Yeah. There's also a fermented, like, it's like a fermented apple that's been sitting in the sun after it's fallen off the tree for like 6 weeks.
A lot of things sitting in the sun today.
No, I think that's accurate.
The taste to me, I didn't get any of this on the nose, but it's actually, I think maybe Jeff's mentioned this, but it's a little smoky. It's a little like toasted, like there is some like smoky quality on the taste.
It tastes like those little smokies that you put in the crock pot and you let them sit.
I'm getting like a hint of like smoky pepper, smoky.
A little liquid smoke and like beef. The stuff that you marinate jerky in.
Yeah. Like.
Soy sauce?
Like teriyaki. No, teriyaki.
Soy sauce is good. Yeah, soy sauce.
And
molasses.
Smoke. Molasses.
Oh my gosh.
And I get a little cherry too, like a dark cherry.
I'm not sure if this is even a beer. What? I mean.
It tastes like beef jerky. Seriously. Keep drinking it.
Yeah, it is. It's getting more meaty on me as I take another sip or two. I don't, but it is, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound good to me the way you guys are describing it.
It's
but
good though.
Yeah. The way it's smooth to me. It's actually pretty easy to drink. If you handed this to me and said, "Hey, try this meat juice. It's 12% alcohol." You know, like, I mean,
I think this would be like really good with like a steak dinner or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm getting like, hickory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that, you know, like smoked or whatever, but hickory, but like there's also I feel like there is a meaty quality to this beer that we are not doing justice. I actually think it's really good.
I think what we're circling around, what we're trying to get to here, is you put a tri-tip in your smoker for 10 hours, you put it on foil, and then you just took all the juices that were left and poured them into your glass.
So I'm gonna say something real quick. I want everybody to take a sip. And then you have all that meat flavor you just described with a little bit of Swiss cheese on top.
Yes! Yeah. I already know what you're talking about. Yes.
There's a little French onion soup in there.
I have never had that, so I don't know.
This is the most meaty beer I've ever had.
So I'm going to say this now because we haven't said it yet. This beer is absolutely amazing and complex. Like,
how you get words a beer can't describe to go too meaty? Is a whole nother level.
I can't describe how unique this beer is.
It is.
I feel like this should almost be the strange brew.
But you know what I think, Joel, you mentioned this with the last beer, where you want to sit down in like a leather chair and smoke a cigar. I have that same feeling with this beer, but even more so. Like, because I get flavors of like tobacco and leather, like these dark, not really sweet, complex flavors, the dark roasted malts that... I have that same feeling with this beer as you had with the last one.
So, but here's the thing I'll say about this beer. So there's very few times where I want to get a bunch of my friends who do not drink beer, and I want to get them together, and I want them to try a beer that is going to blow their minds. So I'll say another beer. The horchata beer from the brewery in LA.
Stop saying horchata.
Horchata. So this one is one of the ones that you want to introduce your friends to who have never had a really complex beer, who've never had a craft beer. Like, I want to blow your mind on this beer.
You could write dissertations on this beer.
I think you could.
I think what I want with this beer is like is not a cigar. I want like some vanilla ice cream with this. Like, I want something that's going to sweeten it a bit. This is very earthy. It's very earthy. It's very dark. And I want something that might maybe will brighten it up a bit.
And cream it out and like smooth it.
But it is smooth. I mean, it's not tough to drink at all.
I mean, for 12%, it's smooth. I mean, there's plenty of coffee and chocolate flavors.
Mm-hmm. By smooth, I mean more like smooth it out. I mean like more
cream,
like
creaminess.
Cut the meatiness out and make it more desserty kind of thing.
It's actually smooth drinking, I think. And it's kind of heavy. I don't know that I would go as far as to say it's viscous. But
it's full-bodied.
It's full-bodied. It's heavy.
There will be listeners who try this beer and who will hate this beer. But this is one of the most unique beers we've ever had, and I freaking love it. If you are a well-versed craft brew drinker, you're going to really appreciate this beer regardless of what you think of the taste.
Especially because, you know, we've done the Imperial Stout show, right? Where we try all these 12% beers. And they all kind of taste the same. Oh, a little molasses, the smoke, the roasted
brown
malt,
sugar.
A little brown sugar, and they all taste the same. This one takes it a step further, and that is commendable.
Even more.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I would say, especially Jesus. For anyone who is a stout drinker, if you're looking for something different, I would have them drink this beer.
All right, well, I think that's good on that one. Let's sum up the beers we've had tonight, and we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. Britain.
So we started off with a Here Goes a Nothing from Destill Brewery in Normal, Illinois. Then we went to Batch 300 IPA from Fulton Beer. We did Fruit Basket Deepa along with the Easter Basket Deepa, both from Champion Brewing Company. After the break, we did the Scary Jesus Rockstar from Dark Horse, the Epic Barley Wine, and then the Even More Jesus from Evil Twin Brewing.
Joel, you got that wheel handy?
Always.
Who is it?
Mrs. Miner.
Britain, it's me.
Blondie.
All right, here goes nothing. So my beer of the day
is Here Goes Nothing.
Here Goes to Nothing. I really liked it. I like Gosa's. I liked this one. Just to recap it a little bit, it's pretty thirst quenching. It's not super salty. There's a lot of lime and tart apple notes to it that are very enjoyable. So that's my beer of the day.
Great, great pick.
So I am torn.
Torn between what, Joel?
I'm torn between Here Goes a Nothing and Even More Jesus.
Alright, so you have to make a decision, though.
Alright, so I make my decision on two things. One, if I was stuck on an island, what was the one beer that I'd want to have?
Oh, the old island trick, huh?
It'd be Here Goes a Nothing.
Loop Island?
But I'm going to change what I normally say based upon if I was stuck on an island for the rest of my life, what beer could I choose? And I'm going to go with what beer I'd rather have to share with my friends. And it would definitely be Even More Jesus by Evil Twin Brewing. That beer was so complex. I've never had a beer that was as meaty and as flavorful and as complex as that beer. And so that's going to be my beer of the day. Even More Jesus.
I just want to first ask all of our listeners to please purchase something on Amazon so we can afford the royalties on all these sound clips that we got going here. But there's two beers we had tonight that taste nothing like any beer I've ever had before. The Even More Jesus. But to me, I'm kind of scared of Jesus a little bit, so I like the scary Jesus. It just had this great, unique flavor, the apricot. I don't think I could ever have another beer that tastes like that, and I liked it. That was good.
It was good. I'm actually not paying anything on these royalties. If they want to sue us, go for it.
Oh, perfect.
Don't challenge them.
Oh, I will.
They're not listening. Don't worry.
My beer of the day is going to be Even More Jesus. I've had a lot of Imperial Stouts. They're so popular. Everyone makes one. I thought I'd had them all. I thought that I'd learned the style and I wasn't going to see anything new. This one just took that complexity up to the next level with the smokiness and the meatiness and the little bit of tart cherry. And like I said, you could write a dissertation on it. Like, I bet I could drink that beer for an entire day and write notes on it and explore different facets of it until the sun goes down. So, great beer. Very surprised. A lot of good things from Evil Twin from Brooklyn, New York. So, glad I got to have that one tonight. Jeff.
All right. Another tough decision. I agree with Joel. I have a tough choice between two beers, but I first want to say, out of the IPAs we had, you know, I mentioned at the time that Mosaic is my favorite hop. I don't think these beers really like were the best representation of the Mosaic hops, because I've had some really phenomenal IPAs that are brewed exclusively with Mosaic. So I stand by my love for Mosaic hops, but I'm not going to pick any of those. I'm going to go with the Here Goes a Nothing, because I love the Evil Twin, Even More Jesus, but I haven't had a ton of Gozas, but that was maybe one of the best I've ever had, and it was just super drinkable. I don't normally like sour or tart beers, but just the flavor of that, that's something I could drink pretty much every day, and for the style of the beer that it is, it's one of the best I've ever had. So I'm going to go with the Distill Here Goes a Nothing.
So, Kira, you have the opportunity to make a three-way tie, choose your own destiny, or give someone the, what's the word I'm looking for?
The nod.
So, I actually had a really hard time deciding tonight. There was a lot of really amazing beers. I think there was only one that I really didn't like. But even though as much as I love the Even More Jesus, it was very complex, very easygoing. It tastes amazing on the palate, but I need something that I'm going to be able to drink all day. And being that the weather is getting nicer, kind of summertime, I'm going to have to go with the Here Goes Nothing.
Oh, damn it.
I thought you were talking about the barley wine. I thought the barley wine was going to be your choice.
There goes the beer of the day. Here Goes Nothing. It is a good beer, though.
Well, Sunday is Easter, so I bet you can figure out the relevance here.
Happy National Beer Day.
Hear, hear.
Happy National Beer Day. And happy Easter on Sunday. So if you can go to the store and pick up a Easter basket or a Jesus-related beer, you should do that and share it with your family. They will not be disappointed. All right, well, we're going to sign off for the night. But before we go, we should remind you to check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. We're on Instagram, @beerofthedaysite. And we're on Twitter, @beeroftheday. If you want to leave us any comments, you can send those comments to feedback@beeroftheday.com for the email people. Or you can go to any page on Beer of the Day and leave your comment on that page, and we will read it on this program. We will see you next time in 2 weeks with a new program. We have several to choose from. We're like overstocked on beer right now, but we'll figure out a good show and bring that to you then. For Jeff Miller, Kira Hopkin, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.